Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sean Hammer. Today we will be going over a little bit of rumors, which I like to call rumors from the warp. We'll be going over just briefly touching on new releases, and also we'll be going over movement for our segment of the Art of War, Hammer's 40K. So let's go ahead and get started. Big news, I guess, for this week, other than Christmas and the holidays, we have the release coming up of 40K Missions. What it looks like, it's just going to be a standalone army book that goes over certain types of missions that you can battle over in the realm of 40K. I look forward to seeing what's inside of this book and seeing if it goes to any cool scenario type battles or something that can be used as a campaign. So more of that will come as soon as I get a copy of it, and maybe we'll preview it a little bit. Second thing I got new is I found an interview with Dan Abnett. You might notice a link on the website for his website, also for a link for a YouTube video that's a interview with him talking about, I think it's Gaunt's Ghost. He's also doing a two-part story with Graham McNeil doing Prospero Burns and I forgot the other one, but it's basically revolves around the Space Wolves and the Thousand Suns. He's doing the Space Wolf version of that, and being a Space Wolf fan and being a Dan Abnett fan, I don't see any no bad in that. Also, on that same YouTube site, there's also an interview on there if you want to check it out about how he talks about he wrote the screenplay for the upcoming 40K movie. I believe it's going to be CGI. Don't quote me on that, but he talks a little bit how things are going with that, and he's a very interesting gentleman to listen to, and he's a great author, and does a lot of fiction for 40K as well as fantasy, and if you haven't got a chance to pick him up, his name is Dan Abnett, and he writes beautiful Gaunt's Ghosts. He does the Eisenhorn Trilogy, Ravener, Malice Darkblade, Hammers of Ulrich. Very versed in the different types of styles that he does. Well, that's it for the news. Next up is the rumors from the warp. Unless you've been hiding underneath of a supply crate somewhere, you know that the upcoming release of Tyranids is upon us. I got a little, I shouldn't say little, it's actually quite extensive, little rumor sheet sent to me via email from one of the listeners, going over some of the things that we can possibly, I repeat, possibly expect in the new Tyranid Codex. The first one is just random stuff that they threw out here. I'll read over a little bit. I'm not going to go into Shadow of the Warp, the range is 12. I can imagine it's a psychic ability. But let's get into some of the stuff that's got the rumors that we're going to be looking at in this new codex. First is their stamps as creatures. Units within 12 inches are fearless. No more eternal warrior. They have extinct behavior. Each Tyranid unit not in range of a Synapsis creature has to pass a morale check or falls back due to instinctive behavior. That's going to be pretty nifty. I mean, that's something I don't believe I've seen before, but I have not well versed in playing against Tyranids. But their bioweapons are no longer modified by the creature that wields it. Their heavy variants of most of them are bigger creatures. You got the Venom Cannon. 3-inch blast now, and they suffer an additional -1 against vehicles, so a glancing hit is -3, a penetration on -1, so vehicles can now be wrecked with this weapon. We got the Heavy Venom Cannon, same as above, but strength 9. Scything Talons, one pair of them grants reroll to hit, two pairs allow you to reroll all failed hits. We have the Bone Sword, cause of instant death. If the target fails a morale check after suffering a wound, and then if you bear two pairs, the morale check is made on 3d6. Got the Tentacle Whip. Reduce the initiative of all models attacking the user to 1. Crushing Claws. We have d3 additional attacks. Next little segment we have is Biomorphs. These grant USRs. Example. Toxic glands grant poison attacks, plus 4. Adrenaline glands grant furious charge. And an injector grants instant death on each rolled wound of 6. And there's many more, so it says. For units, we have, for HQ, we have the Hive Tyrant, Alpha Warrior, and Turviagon. Hive Tyrant is... we won't go too much over this, because like I said, I'm going to go through this, but we'll give it. We get the Hive Tyrant called the Swarm Lord, armed with 4 bone swords, loaded with special rules, but cost more than a Land Raider. They can choose from more than 4 psychic powers. We have Mental Scream, Life Leech, a Power 3 and a Power 4 that they didn't add here. Tyrant may be given special abilities, such as ability to grant other unit to outflank, and plus 1 to reserve rolls. Many options available for weapons. Alpha Warrior has a weapon skill 6, granted to any unit of warriors he joins. The Horror, or the Parasite of Mortrex, winged hit-and-run monster. Enemy unit outflanking may suffer casualties. The outflanking unit picks 1 model and must pass a toughness test. If failed, the model is removed. And the turn-in player gets D6 Ripper Swarms. And Horror does the same to victims he kills and assaults. For elites, we're looking at a Hive Guard, Lictors, Gene Sealers, Xanathropes, Special Xanathrope, the Doom of Melantia, and a Death Ripper. We're not going to go too much over any of this until the book comes. We're looking at Hormagaunts. We have Gaunts, Warriors, Gene Stealers, Broodlord. And it looks like the Broodlord retains his stat line at points cost of a Long Fang with Heavy Bolter. May have 2 psychic powers, Confusion, and ability to, which will reduce the leadership of surrounding enemies by 1. Fast attacks, we have on the list Wing Warriors, Gargoyles, Raveners. That's it for fast attack. Next we have heavy support. We have Carnifexes, a Trigon. I don't know if that's a new type. We have a Tyranifex, Walking Weapon Battery, Flesh Borer Swarm. Oh, that's what it can do. Pyro Acid Spray and Capsule Cannon. And this is something I don't believe was in the last Tyranid Codex, but if I'm wrong, please feel free to let me know. Don't scold me for it, because I'm not 100% sure. And next is Dedicated Transports. It's a Spore Capsule. Many units may purchase a Spore Capsule. Occupancy, 1 monstrous creature or 20 infantry. It's got Deep Strike. And disembarking unit may not move or assault, but it may shoot. Sounds maybe close to a Tyranid version of a drop pod. Its stat line is weapon skill 2, ballistic skill 2. It's actually got a pretty low toughness rating here. It's actually got toughness and not an armor value. 5 through 6, weapon skill 3, attacks 3, and strength 6. It's a weapon 6 inches and an assault 6. At least that's what I'm seeing right here. So those for the new Tyranid rumors. Sounds interesting. Can't wait to get my hands on a new book to see probably what I'll be facing in the near future. There's a couple people around the local hobby store I play at that actually play Tyranid, so they've been putting them aside because they haven't had a proper codex in a while, so they believe, and maybe this will be the change. Alright, well, we're going to take a moment, then we'll be right back with our segment of Art of War, Hammer 40K, and we'll be going over movement. So, talk to you guys in a moment.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you off-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, here we go, and let's start with this segment of The Art of Warhammer 40K with movement. All right, I went over, we're just going to skip, setup for a couple of reasons, because setup, as I'm going to say, for the special missions in the rule book, so as per special missions, a different sequence of how you will set things up. First, let's go ahead and go over the phases really quick so we can get a general idea for some of who don't know exactly about the full the turn sequence of Warhammer 40K. The first is the movement phase. Second is shooting. Third is assault. There is no magic phase. Kind of like in Warhammer Fantasy, most of the psychic powers, which will be the 40K magic, will happen in the different turns as designated by the different power. Okay, let's go into movement now. The movement distance. This is a little bit different because infantry models, basically throughout the board, move 6 inches. This represents that most creatures will be moving at a pace, but stopping a couple times to scan around, searching landscape for different people hiding out and trying to kill them. Even warriors who are moving in a part of the battlefield where no enemies are apparent can only move 6 inches. It's because your characters don't know, your units don't have the godlike knowledge that there's other enemies around them, so they're going to be cautious the whole thing. So movement distance is up to 6 inches. If there's models in the way, they may not move through the space occupied by another model, which is represented by the base, or by its hull if it's a tank, or move through a gap between friendly models that's smaller than its own space, or hull. A model can't move so it touches any enemy during the movement phase. They have to stay 1 inch away. 1 inch. There's no inches on it. If there's different movements, distances inside of a unit, the whole unit moves at the slowest rate, at the slowest model's rate. Next in the movement, we have random and compulsory movement. Sometimes units have to move at random, and the distance is, instead of the usual 6, is be forced to move a certain way. It's directly towards a close enemy, for example. The situations are discussed later in what we'll be going over. With turning and facing, at the end of models are assumed to have a 360-degree arc if they're infantry. And at any time, you can turn and move a model without paying any type of movement cost for that. Units already locked in close combat, they can't move because they're fighting for their lives. And this is why I think it's pretty cool. With fantasy, you move everything on movement blocks, movement trays or blocks of units minus skirmishers. Now, in 40K, this is a distinct difference. Is unit has to maintain coherency. It's got to be 2 inches within each another model of its own unit. So you can have loose formations, guys running around and stuff. It's a little bit more dramatic looking on the battlefield to face this futuristic skirmishing type battle. With movement, we have a... the area of basically where you're going to be moving on. We have terrain. This will include your hills, your buildings, ditch lines, everything. And there's 3 different types. We have clear terrain, which can be moved across without any penalty and generally covers most of the battlefield. Difficult terrain, it'll slow the models down. And it might be dangerous to models passing through it. And impassable terrain, which means it cannot be moved across or into. Clear terrain includes open areas such as fields, moorland, grass, deserts, ash wastes, and gentle hills. This could be embellished with the odd tree, shrub, or cactus for visual appeal. The next is difficult terrain, which includes area of rubble, jungles, woods, ruins, brush, and scrub, rocky outcrops, boggy ground, low walls, hedges, fences, razor wire, and barricades. If the terrain features include hazards such as booby traps, carnivorous plants, etc., then it may additionally categorize in difficult and dangerous terrain. Impassable terrain includes deep water, lava flow, steep rock cliffs. Can't pass through it. You've got to use your judgment in that. Buildings that models can enter, like bunkers, bastions, and fortifications, will notice they'll be treated a little bit differently when we go into that segment of movement and terrain. Area terrain sometimes has, next one's area terrain, sometimes has terrain features that have defined edges, such as a crater, streamline, or an intact building. However, this might slightly less clear as a case of marshes, woods, and ruin and such. As with all terrain, you need to discuss, trust me on this, before the battle, what each piece of terrain will signify, if it's rough, difficult, clear, impassable, or if it's a building, what's the fire points of the building, if this is an area terrain type firing situation where you can shoot with every model, or you're going to go through like two models per window. Definitely talk this over with your opponent, because playing some games, sometimes it starts off to be loose and okay in the beginning of the game, then when it comes down to it and a critical partner are like, oh no, that's a window, you can only shoot with half your squad, and even though the whole first two turns of the games you have that guy shooting out as the same piece of terrain as area terrain. Difficult terrain, moving through it. If any model starts their move inside difficult terrain, the unit is affected by the terrain and must take a difficult terrain test. You'll be rolling 2d6 and select the highest. This is the maximum distance in inches that the model and the unit he's in will move. If the unit starts to move outside the terrain, the player must declare he wants his unit to try and enter the terrain as part of the move, and then he rolls the dice and he moves that forward into it. Even if the distance rolls too short for anything. Okay. Dangerous terrain. It's dangerous to move through. I mean, what can I say? You roll a d6 for every model in the unit that has entered the dangerous terrain. And on a roll of a 1, the model suffers a wound with no armor or cover saves allowed. Impassable terrain. We got models may not be placed in passable terrain unless the models concerned have a special rule in their profile granting them to an exception, like being able to fly above the terrain or pull players begin at the beginning of the battle agreed to it. That's basically short and sweet the rule versions of what movement is. And let's go ahead and let's go on some of my views. First, I'm a longtime guard player, and there is not a lot of movement in my sight. I try and obtain defensible positions during setup. I stay there. I make use of cover, and I hide like a little bitch. It's only because everybody's weapon in the whole entire game takes away my armor save. And I hate to say it, guardsmen in Diamond Dozen, that's what I do if I was a guardsman. I'm hiding and shooting my missile launcher. Or las gun, however you want to look at it. Now, when it comes to tactics for moving, I guess what I like to do is I get a transport, and I put a relatively beefy unit into it. I don't go overboard, and I'll pretty much move them in a crazy area of the battlefield, trying to capture a table quarter, perhaps, or an objective. Then what I'll do is I'll disembark the unit, use them to scare the foe. Basically, I use the tactic of hit them where they aren't. You got the left side of the battlefield. I take full advantage of my movement to go ahead and get units into that area. Try and give me an advantage. Movement in 40K is pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's not like in fantasy where you got wheeling and you got to worry about march blocking. I mean, it's just simple. Here I am. I'm gonna move, and I'm going to shoot. Then if I'm going to assault, I'm going to assault. So as for the tactical thing of movement, it's just basically remember when you're moving, which is, I should say, apparently, especially, I mean, for those who paid attention in the synapsis creature thing about if you're outside of coherency of a synapsis creature. You want to make sure, just like with leadership, you stay with inside that bubble, especially if you have low leadership. So don't go crazy and move your stuff outside of any ranges where you might need leadership. If you got a 12-inch, use the general's leadership. If you don't have vox casters or something. And just pay attention to basically what the terrain is and how you're moving it. And as I stated, if you spend that couple minutes, it may seem like a waste of time and you want to get started on your game, spend that couple minutes to go over what each piece of terrain is. So that way you know, and even give examples to your opponent, saying, oh, this is area terrain. It also counts as difficult ground, right? So I'm going to roll 2d6 and move through this, but I can see 360 degrees out of it. And make him confirm that and repeat it to you or her, and then you're good to go. So basically, you know, I just, not too much tactically outside of movement do I have in there. We'll get more into transports and stuff in the movement section when that comes. That's pretty much all I got for you for the first segment, and I hope you enjoyed. Remember, you can contact me via email at seanhammer9@yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is seanhammer there as well. I'm also on My Battalion. And, yeah, please leave me feedback or an iTunes review if you wish. And I wish all of you a happy holidays, and until next time, just keep having fun.